GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Team, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out what your home is worth online instantly at LaughlinWolfingtonRealty.com. This is the George Hale Rick Tyler Show, and George Hale's not here. That dog is in Florida, sunning it up on a beach somewhere in a Speedo. Oh, sorry about the visual in your head there, Paul Wolf. Apologies. And apologies to Dr. David Cloutier of the VZ Vet Clinic, everyone's favorite veterinarian, online 3 for GHRT. Paul, Doc, Doc Paul.
Good morning, Doc.
Hey, good morning, Paul. How are you this morning?
Good.
Already listeners are sending questions. They're texting them to you at 601-207-GHRT, 601-207-4478. This one is going to require some verbal gymnastics. Dear doctor, I am giving my big dog Sentinel Spectrum Chews and Credelio. Isn't that a rap star, Credelio?
R.I.P. Coolio.
Is it Credelio? Is that what it is?
Credelio.
Credelio. Thank you. All right. Yeah. That's the French rap star. I consider switching to Simparica Trio for savings, or is there a risk of a reaction? Man, I'm getting wonky right out of the gate, Doc.
Wow. Like, you guys are making me do mental gymnastics, and I've just barely got through my second cup of coffee.
Sorry. It's not me. It's the listener.
Yes. So, absolutely, I would choose one or the other. So, Simparica Trio or Credelio Quattro. So, one of them sounds like an Italian car. But anyway, both excellent products made by really good companies that we trust. And what you're looking for is internal and external parasite control. So by using a combination product, you're getting all the same coverage with actually pretty much the same drugs just in one pill and saving cost. So that was just an odd combination for that listener to be using. And without hesitation, I would switch. And these compounds are so similar and so safe, they could switch back and forth every month and it wouldn't matter.
Oh.
So switching is no big deal. Just pick one and go with it. And I would pick the one that my veterinarian recommends because they know you and your dog and the product, and they'll choose the right one for you.
Online at vzvet.com. This is Dr. David Cloutier of the VZ Vet Clinic. Your questions at 601-207-GHRT, 601-207-4478. This person writes to us, I was wondering why our dog eats shoes and anything he can get his paws on anytime we leave him alone, even when we're just in another room. I know part of it is because he's half blue heeler. But are there any other reasons? Thanks, guys. Eben sends that to you. What is a blue heeler? H-E-E-L-E-R.
Quite an intense little dog. They're like these rugged little kind of cattle dog type of dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So not bulldog-like, but very athletic and rugged little guys. They love chewing. So they need something to do. So there are certain breeds that we refer to as they need a job. They need something to do. There's other breeds of dogs that all they need is the remote and a bed and a TV, and they'll lay there all day and watch TV. And so the blue heeler is a dog that needs a job. So when he's not watching you and taking care of you, he's going to chew your shoes or something. So it's just part of that breed. And so finding appropriate chew toys that he likes, that he'll chew on, that don't break his teeth, that don't wear his teeth down. So that's one of my things I talk to clients about. No tennis balls, the nap, that outside fuzzy covering that feels nice and soft on a tennis ball is made from glass. It's silica, and it will just grind their teeth down. And then things like antlers and anything hard, nylabones, dogs will break their teeth on. I mean, real bones, they'll break their teeth on.
Mm.
So you want to pick something that their teeth can actually leave marks in as they're chewing at it, but not chew it apart, swallow it, and then it's a trip to VZ Vet to have it taken out of their intestines.
Mm. I can't wait to meet this guy because I'm going to say, pardon me, Yvonne, is that the dog that chewed your new shoes?
Yes.
See what I did there? Paul Wolf behind the BPG and SS7A.
Yeah, Doc, I don't have access to the text messages, so I'm just going to hit you with one from me here. We recently, sadly, lost our cat a couple of months ago.
Oh, sorry, dog.
And I never knew him to be a mouser, but sure enough, he's no longer with us. And now the rodents seem to be finding themselves in my basement. Do you find that cats...
Did you post an obituary so they all read, okay, that house is available
no,
for rent
did
now?
Not.
Okay.
But do you find that cats can be a kind of a deterrent, even though they're not necessarily a mouser specifically?
You know, I don't know that mice have that cat sense of, ooh, there's a cat there. Well, that's not the right house to go to. But cats are effective at rodent control. And so definitely a new cat is in your future. And certainly more environmentally conscious than poisons and stuff. So I think a trip to the Bangor Humane Society or the Animal Orphanage or wherever your preferred cat acquisition places.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
And some of those cat cages are going to say right on it, good mouser. Mm-hmm. And there you go.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
VZVet.com. This is Dr. David Cloutier of the VZ Vet Clinic answering your question. 601-207-GHRT. 601-207-4478. This person texts to you, doctor. I have a teacup Yorkie, and when I take him for a walk, he pulls hard like an Alaskan sled dog, and he makes weird noises when he's breathing. And then it goes away after he stops pulling hard. What's up with my teacup?
So teacup means they're just a little tiny, tiny Yorkie. And it doesn't mean they won't intensely pull, though, even though they're little. So I definitely would put a harness on him as opposed to a collar, just so he's not pulling across his neck as much. And this collar probably has already done that. Some of them have a collapsing trachea where their trachea, instead of being a nice round circle, is a little bit flattened, almost D-shaped. And if they are pulling and breathing really hard, they will start to collapse that trachea down and make a kind of fluttering, honking noise. And then as soon as they stop breathing that hard, they stop doing it. Mm-hmm. I try not to encourage a lot of that because it certainly kind of self-perpetuates and gets worse with time.
I have a gassy dog. Will exercise help?
It would help the gas going outside as opposed to inside. But
I think. Go ahead.
So I just say you probably need to make an adjustment in what food you're feeding. And for a lot of animals, people are feeding diets that don't have enough fiber. And we just recently saw a dog with rickets. Owners feeding it chicken and rice with no source of calcium or phosphorus. And his bones were so soft, several of his bones were broken.
Oh, no.
So I always say that, you know, to owners that if you're going to try to feed on your own and make your own food, you really need to consult with a veterinary nutritionist, which is like a dietitian, and get a recipe because just making it up on your own, you may be missing essential ingredients. So as much as we're trying to feed our dogs well, the crappiest grocery store food still is nutritionally complete. And your home-prepared food that you bought at the grocery store may not be.
Okay. And in all disclosure, I tossed that off mic, that question to you, Paul, but I misread the text message. It's not that they have a gassy dog. They have three gassy dogs.
Wow.
And, of course, they're all cooped up. There hasn't been a diet change. They say that three gassy dogs are three too many, and they're eating Purina Pro at about $100 a bag.
So great quality dog food and should have, or definitely has, all the right ingredients, including likely the right amounts of fiber and so forth. So maybe a probiotic added to the food would get the right bacteria in their gut and kind of quiet that gassiness down. And sometimes I do change foods. Not that Purina Pro Plan isn't an outstanding food, but it just may not agree with those dogs, and we need to switch something. You also could say to that owner, what else are you feeding? Because it may not be the Purina Pro, but one of the treats or snacks or extras they're getting.
This person quotes Robert Palmer, the late great man who proved you can have pinstripes in rock and roll, by texting, "Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of a cat getting recurring hairballs, at least one a week. Is this normal, or should I make some adjustments to anything?"
So absolutely, if you don't want that poor kitty to suffer through puking up a hairball once a week and whoever's job it is in the house to pick it up, or worse, step on it first thing in the morning when you get up, I would make an adjustment. And you can increase how much you groom the cat, which will help some. But if we adjust our food to a food that has certain fibers, will help to kind of move the fur through the intestinal tract. So instead of it building up and sitting in the stomach until it forms a ball, the fiber will kind of grab a hold of it and haul it through the intestines and out the other end. So there are pet foods that will say on them hairball formula, and that's not always a marketing scheme to get you to buy more food. Sometimes it's legitimately formulated to help move that fur through the digestive tract.
This one isn't specific for breed, as far as like a dog or feline. Any specific chew toy suggestions? I'm thinking maybe dog on this one.
So recommended chew toys. So like we started to talk about, we don't want something that's so hard that it'll break the dog's tooth. And it's true, a dog can chew a bone, chew an antler, chew things, and break the bones, but eventually repeated trauma to the tooth, and ultimately you end up with a broken tooth, especially with an aggressive chewer. So I don't want something too hard. The other risk is if your dog is pulling it apart, some dogs will start to swallow the stuffing or the squeaky inside a toy or the fabric of the toy. So anything that starts getting long strands or things that your dog is swallowing, then we want to take that away. So my personal favorite chew toy for 25 years has been a company called Bionic. Anybody remembers
Steve Austin? The Bionic
and,
man?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. And Lindsay Wagner, the Bionic woman. Yes. So there's a company called Bionic, and their chew toys have enough rubberiness and give to them that the dogs don't break their teeth on them, and yet they'll hold together. So I have not, to this date, had a dog that we've removed a piece. So VZVet, in the 25 years that we've been recommending this chew toy, have never seen a broken tooth from it, and not ever taken a chunk of one out of a dog's intestines surgically.
Do they cost $6 million?
They actually, shockingly, they should up their price, because they're like $20. And my dog will have one for years, drop it in the lake, will pull it out, throw it back on the lawn, and it keeps on going. So they never wear out. They're great toys.
Super last quick question, Paul Wolf.
Well, on that topic of hard chew toys, I know that some shed hunters, they go out looking for antlers. They will give their dogs a little bit of an antler to kind of chew on, to kind of sniff, to be able to track these down in the snow. Is it recommended not to let them necessarily be alone with that if you are trying to train them to shed hunt?
You know, that's probably a wise move. And each dog's different. So some dogs will gently chew on an antler, not break off chunks and swallow it, not chew so aggressively that they break a tooth. So sometimes we can get away with it. But like you said, maybe I don't want to be leaving the dog alone with it and just have him go to town, and then suddenly you come back and the antler's gone, and that's a trip to the vet.
GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Team, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out what your home is worth online instantly at LaughlinWolfingtonRealty.com.